Hey guys, what's going on? This is the What Is Your Podcast, where we're going to be talking about passions and the impact that people make in a variety of ways and in a variety of experiences. I'm so excited to be talking about one of my passions in the world today in the form of sports and social media. So today I will be exploring the idea of, you know, building communities and sports organizations through social media. So today I have the amazing blessing of being going to have Miss Cianfron. Is that how I say it? Is that correct?
Sure, Cianfron. There you go.
Cianfron. There you go. So she's a professor at Georgia State. I'm just going to have her speak on her experience and knowledge in this field.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Jackson. I'm very excited to be here. This is obviously a topic that I work on a lot, study a lot, do a lot of studies just to try to understand it more since it's so widely used and it's something that really can help a sport organization or an athlete get their name out there, get their brand, and establish relationships with their communities. So as you said, I'm Dr. Beth Cianfron. I am a professor of sport management at Georgia State University in Atlanta. I've been here for about 14 years. And most of my research is in the marketing and consumer behavior realm to try to understand what we can do to get fans engaged with their sports teams and then understand like why they consume different aspects of sports. So maybe why they use social media, how they use social media, why they would use sport video games, you know, kind of just all the different ways you can consume a sport team or product to get a better understanding of how they do that and why they might do that to kind of encourage more and to help these sport teams grow their brands. So thanks again for having me on here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so exciting. Like just as you talk about it, it makes me excited. It's like making me go crazy. Cause I'm like, that's so exciting. That's literally what I love and like want to do in my life. So yeah. So thank you for letting me do this with you. Cause I'm so excited to deep dive into these questions and figure out your answers to them. So my first question was, I know you've done like a lot of research before and created articles in that. And one of my favorite things about research articles is the fact that, you know, you have different authors with different backgrounds and, you know, they get to come together and whether, you know, they're across the country or not, get to work together and put this article together about something that could ultimately change and people are figuring things out. And so I was just wondering, like, does it help to be able to contribute with other authors and does it change your perspective and do those relationships last past, you know, this article?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that's one of the really neat things about academia is that everyone has their specific area of expertise. And when you find other people who are also in your area, like studying the sport marketing realm, or even more specifically on the brands, you can then find your like-minded folks that you want to work with and start doing projects together and hopefully they last and you like working with each other. And then you can do more and more and kind of build on these ideas to get to our hopeful end goal of, you know, finding the best way to do something. Is there like an effective way to, you know, do blank, whatever it is you're trying to work with. So I know like on that one study that we did with Stacey Warner, that was on the idea of building brand communities in social media. That one started kind of like interestingly. I had never worked with her before. So I think that's one that's like kind of a neat way to see how these relationships might start in the fact that every year I take my students to the College Sport Research Institute case study, which is held in South Carolina by the University of South Carolina. And they compete in this case study competition against other schools from across the country. And in doing this, the case study for 1 year was about how to use social media, like in college athletics and, you know, kind of a question based off of that. So when I worked with my students, we used Dr. Stacey Warner's community model, which she had used a community model that she's very well known for, like on how to establish community among your athletes, how to establish community among your team, et cetera, in other realms. And we thought, well, let's try to apply it to sport media, the idea of social media. So we just use it kind of as a brief framework in that case study competition. The students won. I met Stacy when I was there, and she was like, wow, you used, you know, my model as like, just like the idea. They didn't really build much on it, but just kind of said, community is important. You know, Warner says so.
Yeah.
And so then I started talking to Stacy more, and I was like, how about we, you know, I think this idea is actually a good one. You know, is there a way we can integrate this together and use kind of my area of expertise on the social media side and yours on the community side to kind of merge them and show why building community is important. The model that you used in these other areas can be adjusted a little bit to fit the social world. And so that's kind of how we delved into that project, and we were able to present it at a conference. Wow, and cool. Kind of we've chatted and so forth since then. So, you know, it's kind of unique the way these relationships happen, but it's, you know, it's one of the neat things about, I think, doing the social, or just doing scholarly work in general.
Most definitely. That's like one of the things that I think there's the most about social media in general is just the connection that we build. And I think the research article gives an example of that, how you get to grow the field of people you know and connections you have just based on the passions that you have. And I think that goes hand in hand with developing communities and social media. So to go into my next question, it's do you believe it's easier for sports organizations to have past marketers that, you know, have more experience on marketing and that aspect of and trying to get to know social media and learn it, or hiring people that have grown up in a social media world and are more experienced and young, hiring them younger that have grown in, up in it and, you know, gone to school for it kind of thing. So do you believe that there's really a difference, and who should these sports teams be hiring for that?
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the unique things right now about like the sport communication world is that social media is a communication tool. So you would probably want people with communication backgrounds. So, you know, they're good at writing. They know how to do like After Effects. Like they can like put together like the video content that you might need, as well as like know the sport and be able to do like updates and so forth. But it is a greater portion of like the marketing arm, an umbrella. Mm-hmm. And so I think that person also needs to understand the brand and understand like what the brand is trying to do. So that way the voice on social media sounds authentic, mm-hmm. right? So if you have like a team, like the Cowboys, like they have a very good prestige about them. They're a mm-hmm. professional team. They're known for a lot of different, we call them brand associations. Like, you know, about like the star, the logo, the silver helmet, mm-hmm. The history, you know, an owner that has a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. like there's a lot of like a brand associations with it. And so you would hope that your social media person knows those brand associations, like highlights those, because that's what people want to see. And so I think it's a blending. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily like, let's just get the influencer people who know social media. I think you also need to have a background in understanding that this is a marketing tool and yeah. that it's an essential piece in getting your information out. So like from a sports info perspective, it's in, you need to get your game day info out. You also need to get your promotional information out. You need to get your sponsorship information out. So I think it's a very difficult job. And I think maybe mm-hmm. teams don't even invest as much as they should with
yeah.
these departments. Actually right now with like COVID going on, a lot of college athletic teams, organizations are getting rid of their social media teams or their like their sport info directors. And that's kind of one area you probably wouldn't want to get rid of right now.
Yeah.
Because that's all we have. Like that's the only yeah. assets that we have to communicate yeah. with people. So I don't know. I obviously I'm a proponent of this area. So I think it's important. And I think you do need to get kind of a mix of strong marketers, but certainly you have to have like social media experience. Like you can't just pull up someone and hope that they know, like how to use Instagram and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's more to just like having a good personal Instagram page.
Yeah, absolutely. No, most definitely. And that's crazy to me. I didn't know that colleges were doing away with their social media, you know, teams. I think as social media grows, people are learning that it's a free media and a free media outlet where they can be giving to their fans and changing their demographic. Kind of what we're talking about today is just, you know, building that community, and they have their demographic and they're reaching them and most of college teams are reaching them well, are doing it well just because they've marketed themselves in the past. And social media is something that grows every single day exponentially. So that's so crazy to me that they're getting rid of their potential for free media whenever we aren't physically places, and their only way to actually market to us are that way. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's just one area that I think people maybe undervalue. Like, I just I think sometimes people don't recognize that there should be a strategic element to it. And sometimes they just kind of say, let's get the intern to do social media because the intern already knows how to do TikTok, which maybe the intern does, which is good. But there also probably should be more of a strategic approach if you really want to build a brand community, if you really want to get relationships growing with your followers.
Absolutely. And I think like that's the thing that I love analyzing so much about my own sports teams is like, what's their marketing plan right now? Like, what's going on? And like the Cowboys during the offseason did like the top 100 Cowboys players right. on their Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, it's fun to analyze it, see how well it's doing. Are like, am I sitting there like, oh, are the Cowboys on the other side thinking this is a good plan? And is it getting enough reach? Or are they sitting there like, oh, this is a flop. Like we can't stop now because it's top 100. So
right. Yeah. No, you gotta keep going all the way.
Exactly. Cause you know, you do have some people invest, you at least have one person invested there. So yeah, I love being able to analyze that and figure out if those people are really on the other side thinking this is a success or not.
Yeah. I saw a lot of teams follow along, like you were saying, like the Braves did that here. They did the top, like, I don't know, 50 or something top moments. I think cause the summer was kind of certainly a dead time with,
absolutely.
No content. So they had to be really creative. And
yeah,
a lot of teams did those countdowns and, you know, you're voting on best uniforms, you know, things that like,
yeah,
you normally probably don't care as much about, but it just helped people stay engaged a little bit.
No. And you talked about TikTok, and I think that's really growing fast social media. Even I use TikTok and sometimes I'm not willing to admit it, but I do. Yeah, and I see sports teams all the time, and sometimes like random colleges will blow up, and it's their official accounts. And I think TikTok's a special kind of social media. It's a different one where we're constantly looking at people that we don't know instead of people that we're following. I mean, that's a different aspect. Do y'all use TikTok at Georgia State? Is that something y'all have developed and actually used?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm a professor, so I don't know exactly if the athletic departments do it. But I've seen it a lot. And I don't know if maybe it's more just like the individual athletes are doing it.
Gotcha.
But you raise a great point. Like, it creates a lot of brand awareness because you just are going through and you just start watching, you know, you kind of go down a rabbit hole, right? Like, and you're how did I just spend a half an hour and I don't even know what I just saw?
That's exactly
but
how you it might, is.
Yeah, you might start to see teams that you never heard of, or it'll get you invested in like a certain player because of what they're doing a little bit more. So it's a really good tool to, like, from an awareness standpoint, for sure.
No, yeah. For example, like the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, who I have no investment in, like, Cowboys don't play them too often. It's not like my favorite team. They don't have any of my favorite players, but they show up on my For You page constantly. And I'm finding it funny. And I'm like, I would never have thought I would like a Carolina Panthers post before, but you know, I have to like this one 'cause I'm laughing at it. So
Yeah, the Panthers are one of the – there's certain teams, like, on the pro level, college level, that do really good in social, and the Panthers are one that, like, you should follow them on every account they have because they do a really good job.
There you go. That's cool. That's super cool. Well, to go back into my questions, do you believe building community is something that an organization completely influences, or do the fans have to contribute? Because I know that, you know, organizations can push it so much, and, like, no matter how much money they spend – in social media and how much time they spend trying to build community, it doesn't matter if the fans don't connect. So how much of that is actually the fans contributing to this community?
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. I think social media is a two-way street, and that's what makes it so special, right? Like, that's why this platform is one that people partake in, because it's social, like, just in its name. And so a lot of the content should be something that people can respond to and communicate back with. And so I think definitely the team themselves or the organization should have a plan in place where they know certain elements that they post or, you know, put out for their followers, like is directly created for engagement purposes. Mm-hmm. And so you want to see those pieces have fans respond and react to. So it's definitely a two-way street. You definitely want the fans engaging with the team and vice versa. Sometimes if you can go back and forth between the two, that's even better, right? So like if a team retweets, you know, mm-hmm. game day photos, you know, wear your best gear, and then you have a chance to get retweeted, or we'll put you on the video board, et cetera, yeah. right? Like that's just ways that you're allowing the fans to show off their mm-hmm. fandom and then letting them feel like they're a part of this team community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think social media does an amazing job at that already, whether it's a big organization or, you know, you have 10 followers, you know, you have Instagram polls, you have Instagram questions, where I know a lot of times teams will try and get players to, you know, have fans ask players questions, and then they have the opportunity to do that. And I think that really builds community. It gives the opportunity, you know, fans who are so passionate would never get a chance to talk to these players just because of social media, have a chance to have their favorite player answer their question and talk about their lives and their daily story and what's going on. Because I know that that's another thing that sports teams do as well, is just the day in the life of a player. And that's a simple thing. You know, you just have you hand your player the phone and you make them videos. But it's so much more to the fan. Because it's like, like what's going on in my favorite player today? Like, what should I be doing different to be like him? I feel like younger people do. So definitely make an impact on the fans.
Definitely. And I think it also, when you give the players ownership of showing kind of the behind the scenes, or if the team does it mm-hmm. where they show you, you know, pieces of the locker room right before the game, or the team walking out from the mm-hmm. locker room to the field, like some of those behind the scene things are elements that we as fans never get. The TV never shows those pieces. So it gives the team mm-hmm. content that nobody else has access to. And that also lets the, you know, the fans feel like they're more like engaged and part of it. And it helps mm-hmm. them grow how much of a fan they are. And then the things that you were saying, like seeing people as everyday people, I think is also important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting to see somebody, like what they're eating for breakfast, kind of like just what their daily life looks like, mm-hmm. kind of just makes you realize like, okay, this person's awesome on the court, but like they do the same things that I do.
No, and I did some research on this earlier this year, and just the psychology behind players and putting them above the aspect of being just players. And they're humans too. Like they have normal lives. And yeah, I think that's so cool to be able to learn about that aspect as a fan, and social media definitely encourages that on many different levels. And that kind of leads me into my next question of, you know, I follow players for that reason, and because I want to know, and I get to do that a little bit more when I follow them personally. So I was wondering, like, do players create their own community, and within that community, can they build their team's community? And like, I know players like Juju Smith are ones that like are huge on a lot of social medias, whether it's like streaming on Twitch, which is little less of a social media, more of a streaming website, but he's huge on there, and TikTok and Instagram. And Juju's just someone that people follow all the time. So is he creating influence in a community for him and the organization, or just himself?
Yeah. Juju is a great example. Myself and Matt Blaska, who's a faculty member in Indiana, we're writing a book chapter right now on how brands can use social media for a new social media textbook mm-hmm. that'll be out next year. And we use Juju in there as an example of how a player can grow their brand on social media, because he got really famous before he became a star, like on the field mm-hmm. With the Steelers. And I don't know if you remember, but he had his bike stolen. And so like he was like tweeting about it and saying like, oh man, you know, my bike got stolen. And then people helped him, and then the bike got returned. Like it was just like a really good like story about like the bicycle that he used to get to practice every day got stolen from the practice facility. And it was something that kind of helped people see like, oh, look, like this guy's fun. Like the way he posted about it was in, you know, a humble way. Like he did it, you know, in a funny way too. And so from all of this, he really built on it. And then, yeah, he used other platforms to really grow his brand. So in kind of in two regards, like one, he's growing his own brand, but then certainly he's helping get people invested in the Steelers who maybe never got interest in the Steelers. There's probably kids in California who know about this story and, you know, see him on these different platforms and like him for who he is. And now they've become Steelers fans. So that can work that direction. And then we also see it go the other way where an athlete will join a specific team or get drafted by a certain team. Like a similar case would be Sabrina Ionescu, who was from the University of Oregon, one of the best players in the country, arguably like the best in a long time, drafted by the New York Liberty first overall in the WNBA draft. And Sabrina had more followers like than the whole Liberty team. And so, you know, she helped, is going to help that brand grow and help them get more social media influence just because of who she is. So there's been some research that has just come out this past year by some other researchers that talks about the team and the draft and the relationship back and forth on if a personal account from an athlete is influencing the team or if the team influences the athlete. And we kind of have seen it go both directions.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. Do you think that like teams should start like paying players based on that or drafting players based on that? Because I mean, ultimately their thing is to win games. But also, if they're not winning games, they need butts in seats, and they need to be generating revenue as well. That's another job of an owner, is to not just make sure they're winning, but also make sure they're making money, and I'm sure that makes them happy. So are they going to start, like, drafting players based on their influence and not just how good they are? And are they going to keep paying people? Like, is Juju going to get paid based off his off-the-field experience and not just on the field?
Yeah, those are really good questions. And like fundamentally, you would think, okay, no, they should focus on like the athlete's skill and that should be the only thing they worry about. But we see it all the time where they might draft like a hometown player because they know that person went to college in that city or grew up in that town because it might be a good story or it might help, right? Like it's an easy marketing tool when you do something like that. So maybe the social media stuff will become the point where like, wow, this person can really help us as a community. But I think it'll still come back to their athletic skill set, but maybe in the later rounds of a draft, if there's just someone who can think in that creative way. It also probably depends what sport it is. I think some sports are more open to like storytelling or taking a chance or able to take a chance because of the way the drafts work. Something like Major League Baseball, you have a lot of rounds and it wouldn't hurt to take somebody later on who's from a local high school or something and has a good social media following. But there's other sports where the money's too high at stakes where maybe it doesn't make sense to do that.
Yeah. And I think the NFL might be able to do it a little bit more just based on how many players they have. And, you know, even if you have them on your roster, even if it's on your practice team, like, people are going to be like, look at it immediately and be like, ah, like they have this guy and he's super cool. And I think it does help Juju that he's good on the field as well. I know he did get a following before, but you hear his name constantly and he hasn't been so good this year, but in general, Juju has been a pretty good wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that contributes as well. But I know tons of people who will post Steelers stuff on their story and I'm like, I didn't even know you watch football. And it's because they enjoy Juju and they found him on like TikTok or they found him playing a video game. So it's very interesting to see how Juju's done that. And I think I can't even name another player on the top of my head that does it as well as he does. I know other players that aren't as involved like he is, but to the extent that he markets himself.
He really does a good job. Like, I'm not a Steelers fan either, but I draft him on my fantasy football team every year.
He's on my fantasy team as well.
Purely because of, like, how I found out about him, and I thought it was a good story. Yeah. And then, obviously, he gets me a lot of points. I know, like, I don't know what you're saying. He's not good. He got me a bunch last week and the week before.
Yes. He did get a lot against the Cowboys, but it's also the Cowboys, so we know how well they are. Yeah. But definitely, no, yeah, he definitely plays a role in who I follow, because I definitely would not be following any other team's players. But, yeah, and I think that leads into, like, I know we kind of touched on it earlier about how collegiate athletes have their own social media and how they can start their own brand. So what advice would you give to a college athlete that's coming up and, you know, they might not get the opportunity to play professional sports, or maybe they do. So what do they do to build their community before they graduate? So, you know, while they have their influence or while people are seeing them on the field or on the court, what do they do to build that community before they, you know, go out into the real world?
The college spectrum right now is really interesting. The changing name, image, and likeness rulings that are currently happening even this week, yeah, and trying to understand how college athletes can use their brands for financial benefit. And so social media is probably the first step. Like, how else will people know who you are? So trying to build it, colleges are helping some of their athletes. So there's some outsourcing. There's companies like Open Doors is one, a company called Influencer, but it's like INFLCR without the letters in between. Those are like two big ones that came to mind with respect to, they partner with an athletic department and they'll help provide social like direction and content. So after a Saturday football game, that company will help the team kind of have a platform to then shoot out, like, here are all the photos that you were in from this weekend to the specific athlete. So that athlete can then turn around and post those pictures on their own social account of them in action. So like little things like that would help that individual athlete grow their brand. And then certainly creating original content, personality is a big part of it. How a player can display themselves from a personality perspective. And I think some of this like training that an athletic department can do to help them like understand that they're a brand, understand that they might have a couple assets that they should like promote, understand what your brand is, understand like how that can be used to create a community, are all kind of important elements for this 18, 19, 20 year old to become more well known on a social platform.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you know too much about this, but like, I'm near Austin. So the Texas Longhorns are, you know, my team. And recently they've come out with this brand on marketing their players. So they have this whole push on social media about how you should come to Texas and you should play Texas football, because guess what? We care about you, and we care about you after football and after you're done. And so right now they're in a whole brand new scheme and marketing plan of, you know, not only just getting players here, but building their own social media and building their players' social media. And it's really been a big thing for Texas. And it was kind of a huge headline here of just the fact that Texas is doing something that not a lot of universities are doing and that the NCAA is trying to figure out right now. And I think that's so cool. Like, I think, you know, it's going to benefit those players way more in the past, especially because, like, I'm a huge Texas fan, and there are certain players that didn't make it into the NFL or they didn't do well in the NFL, but I care, and, like, I want to know. And that social media, and if they get a good following and figure out how to use their social media correctly, like, these players could be set good for life, or, like, figuring out what they want to do. So, yeah, I think that's super interesting and cool to me, at least, so. Yeah, it's weird to see how college is kind of adapting and figuring out how they can market their players themselves.
Definitely. And in Texas's light, hopefully they get a better athlete that cares about this whole package. And they'll be like, okay, UT has this, but Oklahoma doesn't. Yeah. So I'm going to, you know, go with the Longhorns and move forward because of that. So it's kind of a win-win. Like, you're helping the student athlete from a personal perspective and helping them on their after, you know, if a career doesn't work out on the field, but then also probably a little bit selfishly that University of Texas wants to make sure that they are cutting edge and get the best football player that they can to. So it's smart on all accounts.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one of the things they measure, like one of the things that they started with was like how many clicks or how many followers they gained in the past month. And it was like, it was either top five or not, if not the best in NCAA. And I know it caught my eye and I didn't even know at first, but they were just posting on all their social medias. I'm like, okay, I have to pay attention. Like, I have to know actually what's going on. Like, why are they just posting, you know, their growth in social media? And come to find out, like, it's a huge marketing plan. That is like really benefiting them and really benefiting their players. So it'll be interesting to see how many organizations adapt this going forward. And I don't know if the NCAA is too happy right now with them, because they still haven't ruled on the fact of how they're gonna let players brand themselves. But I think it's definitely interesting, and Texas is trying to be innovative here and take a risk. So we'll see how other teams adapt and how other colleges adapt there.
Yep. Yeah, most definitely.
Well, yep. Well, that's all I have for you and all the questions I have for you. So thank you for letting me do this. This is like so much fun. I really enjoy being able to talk to you and talk about something that I have a true, true passion for. And I actually learned a ton about, you know, what I can be doing myself and, you know, what these teams I should be looking out for and what they should be doing, and you know, being able to actually influence people on a bigger level. So thank you for being able to do this with me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jackson. This is great. I really enjoyed it. And anytime you're going to do another podcast, I'd love to be a part.
Absolutely. Yep. So I'll see y'all later. Thank y'all for joining. I hope y'all enjoyed. Let me know if y'all have any suggestions. Every day I love suggestions. I love to know how I can be bettering my podcast. And if y'all want to contribute, let me know. So yes, thank you again. Perfect. Thank you.